It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
On fire out west. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Wind-whipped wildfires erupting in the foothills of Southern California.
The smoke is right over my house, and I don't know if it's standing or not.
Homes are burning to the ground. Two major highways shut down, and emergency evacuation orders are underway.
We need people to leave now while they can.
Dry, windy conditions fueling these explosive fires as utility crews expand preemptive power outages to cut down on the fire risks.
What has occurred in the last 48 hours is unacceptable.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the nation's largest power supplier, Pacific Gas and Electric, is to blame for not modernizing its power grid.
This is not, from my perspective, a climate change story as much as a story about greed and mismanagement.
2 million homes from the Napa Valley to the L.A. foothills have had their power shut off in this preemptive strike against the wildfires.
This is not an inconvenience for us. It's life and death.
Utility companies say they're trying to prevent the kinds of raging infernos that killed 85 people and destroyed 13,000 homes last year in Paradise, California. A potentially historic October winter storm bringing snow and record cold to the Rockies and Plains states. Meteorologist Bill Cairns says the Dakotas are getting hit hard.
Blizzard warning is up for areas north of Bismarck, and we're going to expect to see the possibility of 1 to 2 feet of snow by the time it's all done on Saturday.
The storm could hit all of or parts of 10 states. Denver had a record high of 83 on Wednesday. It was 19 degrees there yesterday morning. On the impeachment front today, a lot of moving parts. The former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine behind closed doors on Capitol Hill right now, testifying to Congress in the Democrat-led inquiry. What will she say? Maria Yovanovitch was recalled from Ukraine by President Trump back in May. The U.S. ambassador to the EU, meantime, Gordon Sondland, he will testify before the House next week. That envoy was set to appear before a committee this week, but the testimony was blocked by the State Department. President Trump predicts the House impeachment probe will backfire on Democrats in 2020.
The Democrats' brazen attempt to overthrow our government will produce a backlash at the ballot box, the likes of which they have never, ever seen before in the history of this country.
He held his first political pep rally last night since the Ukraine scandal became an impeachment issue. Mr. Trump says impeachment is all about overturning the results of 2016.
They want to erase your vote like it never existed. They want to erase your voice, and they want to erase your future.
The president told the raucous crowd in Minneapolis that his corruption claims against Joe Biden are valid.
The Bidens got rich. And that is substantiated.
The Washington Examiner reporting that the whistleblower whose complaint led to the impeachment probe, that whistleblower worked with Joe Biden when he was vice president. It's one of America's premier gatherings of religious conservatives, and it's underway in the nation's capital.
Now my honor to officially open the 2019 session of the Values Voter Summit.
The Family Research Council's Dr. Tony Perkins says there's a struggle going on right now for the heart and soul of America.
It is an epic battle between two ideologies, two world views. We must pray like we've never prayed before. We must vote, meaning we must be involved at every level of government.
President Trump will address the evangelical audience tomorrow evening. Thousands of civilians in northern Syria rushing to escape Turkish airstrikes.
The Turkish government has defended this military operation, saying that they're clearing this area of terrorists. But more and more, it's starting to look more like a campaign of ethnic cleansing.
That's Charlie Daggett reporting from Syria. Here's correspondent Richard Engel.
The Kurds in this area feel they have been betrayed by the United States, betrayed by President Trump. But now the president's suggesting he wants to moderate an end to this conflict.
The Turkish military claims to have struck nearly 200 terrorist targets since the military offensive began 2 days ago. This year's Nobel Peace Prize winner, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, the 43-year-old, cited for his efforts to end the war with neighboring Eritrea and to institute democratic reforms in Africa. The American League Championship is all set.
1-2.
That's the call on Fox Sports 1 after Houston finished off Tampa last night. Final score 6-1. The National League Championship Series begins tonight when the Cardinals host the Nationals, and we'll have more on the series with Sonny. And sports also had the state bird in danger. Is Hochul being a hypocrite? And help for homeowners flooded out by the lake.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a fine day in most of the area. The weekend doesn't look as luscious. There will be a front bringing a couple of showers tomorrow, but it's not a big deal. Weekend doesn't look bad weather-wise. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Here are some of the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania this Friday afternoon. New York voters, today is the last day you can register to take part in next month's election. This year is the first year that New York State is allowing early voting. The polls will be open for 10 days before Election Day on Tuesday, November 5th. Pennsylvania is investing $250 million this year into the fight against old man winter.
We've been preparing for this winter since the last one ended.
That's PennDOT Secretary Leslie Richards. She says the state's going to be hiring 4,500 seasonal workers.
Keeping our roads as safe as possible in the winter is a team effort, and we're looking for people to join us this season. We have hundreds of job openings across the state.
Pennsylvania has 94,000 miles of highway to keep clear of snow and ice. That is more road than all of the New England states combined. New York Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will aggressively oppose vaping while at the same time support the legalization of marijuana.
Legalization of marijuana is something we have supported, but absolutely not available to teenagers and young people. I mean, their brains, their bodies are still developing.
Many marijuana opponents argue that Hochul is being a hypocrite here for calling out vape shops while at the same time endorsing the decriminalization of pot. But that's not how the lieutenant governor sees it.
I view the discussion about marijuana for adults, that's independent from the urgency that we're feeling right now.
A week ago, New York State saw its first vaping-related fatality. A 17-year-old from the Bronx died as a result of a lung illness that he contracted from the use of electronic cigarettes. Pennsylvania's Suicide Prevention Task Force met last night in York County. York County has one of the highest suicide rates anywhere in Pennsylvania. Last year, 93 people committed suicide in York County alone.
One is too many. We haven't had a month without a suicide since December 1999, so we're coming on 20 years.
Suicide prevention specialist Cindy Richard is asking the public for input as she creates a plan to reduce the suicide rate in York County. A nationally recognized mental health expert says fast food can make depression worse. Dr. Gregory Jantz says excessive sugar is the culprit.
We see high consumption of sugar at the energy drinks that our kids are into. And I also work in sleep research, the sleep issues that our teens are having.
Jantz tells Family Life News that processed foods can cause other problems as well.
The higher the sugar consumption, the increased likelihood also there could be increase in alcohol consumption. And this is going to be alcohol is a depressant.
Dr. Jantz thinks most people do not realize how serious a problem depression is.
The World Health Organization tells us that depression right now is the number one disability in the world. That's worldwide. So we've got to look at what's going on.
Anxiety disorders and depression impact some 40 million Americans over the age of 18. Cash is coming for people impacted by flooding along Lake Ontario. You know who you are. Governor Cuomo making available $20 million for homeowners that had flood damage this year. Applications are available online. They must be submitted by October 31st. Eligible homeowners can each receive $50,000. Clergy abuse survivors came face to face with Catholic leaders in Rochester, New York yesterday. Elon Scharf is an attorney for nearly a dozen victims.
It's an opportunity for abuse survivors to get information about the diocese and its finances, as well as the actions it's taking to protect children in the future.
The sex abuse survivors met for 5 hours yesterday with officials from the church, church lawyer James Marsh.
It was, I think, a moving moment when the bishop gave a really heartfelt apology to the victims and survivors. It goes beyond finances. It really goes to accountability.
The Rochester Catholic Diocese, you might remember, the first in New York State to declare bankruptcy over the priest abuse scandal. The Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, has placed two more clergymen on its list of those accused of abusing children, and there are now today 83 names on that list. It's the final phase to the upgrades at the Elmira Corning Regional Airport. All that needs done now is to install that new parking lot. Aviation Director Tom Freeman.
New parking lot that holds 175 cars, so it adds about a 25% capacity to the 650 car lot that we already have.
The $60 million airport renovation project will be complete once that new parking lot opens next week. Traffic at the airport up 12% from last year, thanks to the upgrades. Nice looking airport there in Elmira. A just released report from the Audubon Society says Pennsylvania state bird, the ruffed grouse, could go extinct because of so-called climate change. Other birds in danger, including, or according to the Audubon Society, include the wood thrush, brown thrasher, yellow-bellied sapsucker, red-headed woodpecker, white-throated sparrow, and the dark-eyed junco. Just a few of the bird species in danger in Pennsylvania. Well, Rome, New York just celebrated the 200th anniversary of the Erie Canal. The first boat to travel down that canal was reenacted last night in Rome. Brian Stratton with the Erie Canal Development Corporation says a lot of projects are in the works to keep that tourist attraction thriving.
And it's not just about boating. It's about biking along the Canalway Trail and what will connect next year to the 750-mile Empire State Trail. So it is tourism, recreation, health. That is the core.
Construction of the Erie Canal started in Rome on July 4th, 1817. It was finished in 1825. Well, the Pats stay unbeaten. They beat the G-Men last night 35-14, your final in Foxborough. Sports is next. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delphia.
Yeah, good battle early. Then the Patriots run away beating the Giants 35-14 due to their defense. New England intercepted Giants quarterback Daniel Jones three times, returned both the fumble and block punt for scores. That was the difference, says Giant head coach Pat Shurmur.
We get a punt blocked, and then we have a defensive score on the other side. You know, certainly our defensive score was good, but those kind of plays, you know, that kind of stretches out the score.
Patriots remain undefeated 6-0. The Giants fall to 2-4. The Astros season will continue. Garrett Cole struck out 10 over 8 innings of two-hit ball. The Astros beat the Rays 6-1. By the way, Cole has 25 strikeouts overall in the series. That broke the record for the division series round, breaking the mark held by Justin Verlander and Steven Strasburg. So, Cole is ready now for the Yankees.
You know, they got a lot of talent, boatload of talent. That's just kind of how they're always made. You know, they're very stoic. They grind out a lot of at-bats. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup.
The Astros will play the Yankees in the American League Championship Series starting tomorrow. Tonight, the National League Championship Series gets underway in the Gateway to the West. Cardinals host the Nationals Game 1 of that best-of-seven matchup in St. Louis. Nationals infielder Ryan Zimmerman says their manager, Dave Martinez, keeps them strong.
Davey honestly has stayed the same way. He's positive every day. His energy, he always trusts his players and has his players' backs. Even when we started as poorly as we did, he stayed the same.
Back to Washington and champions. The Mystics winning their first ever WNBA championship, beating Connecticut Sun 89-78. Elena Deladon.
I'm just so proud of this team. My goodness. The way Emma played like an absolute monster. The way Taj knocked down
huge threes. Every single person deserves this. This is huge.
To the ice. Penguins knock the Ducks from the unbeaten ranks with a 2-1 victory. Oilers keep New Jersey winless with a 4-3 win. And the Lightning torch the Maple Leafs 7-3 in Toronto. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphy.
All right, Sonny, lots going on in the world of sports. Lots going on in the news as well. Still to come on the Noon Report, what that new movie Joker says about us. A commentary you want to stick around for. The Capital Connection crew ready to talk issues in the news from Albany and Harrisburg. And at the end of our broadcast today, one very special baptism. How an ex-con found God.
When a movie triggers police surges at cinemas, we've got a real problem. And it's a problem more in the seats than on the screen. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Batman's arch nemesis is back on the silver screen in full face paint and purple suit, along with the uncomfortable questions his character raises about the state of our culture. Joaquin Phoenix is the new Joker, this time in an origin story about the comic book villain who, until now, didn't have one. The trailers for the movie make it look more like an art house film than a superhero movie. While Marvel movies like to pack on the laughs, this one is too deadly serious to put a smile on anyone's face. The film's spotlight is fully on the Joker, who at last has a name, Arthur Fleck, a failed comedian who loses his mind and leads a murderous October Revolution-style uprising in Gotham City. This iteration is, of course, being compared with Heath Ledger's chilling performance in The Dark Knight back in 2008. Certainly, the nihilistic angle of Ledger's Joker was more than a few steps further down into depravity than Jack Nicholson's portrayal in the first Batman film. And when Ledger died of a drug overdose before the film's release, many speculated the character had consumed him. While adding to the twisted plot is that the perpetrator of the Aurora, Colorado theater shooting, with his dyed clownish hair and deranged expression, targeted the opening weekend of the 2012 sequel to The Dark Knight. No wonder authorities were on alert last weekend as the new Joker movie opened. Both the FBI and the LAPD issued warnings about potential online threats, and police forces around the country beefed up security around theaters. Well, thank God the opening weekend was uneventful. But the very fact that we breathe this collective sigh of relief over a movie shows what a meme of mass violence the Joker has become. This criminally psychotic clown has taken on a life of his own, and ever darker depictions on screen have reinforced it. Movie by movie, the villain we're supposed to hate and fear seems to be edging out the Dark Knight on center stage, spreading fear of senseless killing in the real world, a world where, tragically, such crimes are far too common. The very existence of a Joker origin film reminds me of something that C.S. Lewis once wrote in the opening of the Screwtape Letters. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils, he explained. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. Well, writing at Christ in Pop Culture, K.B. Hoyle argues that our kind of interest in the Joker is that kind of unhealthy. She compares our culture's growing fascination with bad guys to the sympathy some feel for John Milton's tragic Satan in Paradise Lost. In his book Shows About Nothing, Thomas Hibbs identified the rise of what he calls demonic antiheroes. These characters, whether we're talking about Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter, Tom Hiddleston as Loki, or Angelina Jolie as Maleficent, invite us to do more than pity evil. They invite us to root for it, even identify with it. Of course, such movies get made because they sell. Joker has already broken box office records for October. But I have seen The Dark Knight. And despite Heath Ledger's incredible performance, his Joker, like Milton's Satan, is not the intended hero. The fact that so many receive the character as a hero says a lot about our culture. It betrays our culture-wide fascination with evil that we are now bringing to the theater with us. It's a fascination that long ago crossed over into what Lewis would call unhealthy and excessive. And the real-world consequences of our collective inability to tell good guys from bad guys won't be a joke. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 19 past the hour now. A lot of you have weekend plans outside. What does the weather hold? Let's find out. Kevin Williams next. We'll be right back. Okay, Kevin, thank you kindly. At the Weather Center, 20 past the hour, you're listening to the Noon Report. It's Friday, October 11th. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are this week Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Tom Shaheen with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, we'll begin with you. The dust has settled a little bit from the Chris Collins controversy in New York's 27th Congressional District. Now we've got a special election to look forward to next year. When that is exactly, we still don't know. But this is solid Trump turf there, your stomping grounds in Western New York. But it's a race that Collins almost lost in the last election. How safe is this for the GOP coming up next year?
Well, I think this seat is going to be very safe for the GOP. The question is, how conservative a candidate can we get out of this particular district? And I think as people are looking at this across the state and across the country, they see this is a deep red seat, and they want to see a candidate that will match that color of crimson.
Is there anything to read in the tea leaves as far as the race itself and how the 2020 election might shape up like?
Well, I'll say this, that it looks like we're going to have a special election on April 28th of next year. That's my best guess as to when the governor will set the special election for this seat. That's a date to watch. The thing to remember in that race, though, is because it's a special election, there will not be a primary, so your candidates will be picked by the party chairs, and then we'll be looking at the then fall election for that candidate again. So two elections for the same seat in one cycle. I don't know how much we can watch what's going to happen with the national election on that, again, because it is a deep red seat, but I do not feel that any connections that Congressman Collins had to Trump hurt him in any way.
All right. Hey, Tom, you guys are paying close attention to this Supreme Court case that has to do with gay, lesbian, transgender rights in the workforce. This is a huge case that we need to be paying close attention to. The justices expected to make their decision next June. You have similar vested interest in this because of Boyertown and other privacy issues at stake in Pennsylvania. How could that case ultimately affect those privacy cases that you guys are involved with in Pennsylvania?
Well, Bob, you're absolutely right that it would set a precedent, and we pray and hope for a great decision, but we'll see. What's at stake and what's important to Pennsylvanians is, number one, who has the authority to make the decision in the discrimination code whether sex also includes sexual orientation and gender identity. Big difference. There's that question, and then the question of whether employers, whether religious or not, have the right to set standards that fits with their conscience and their religious beliefs. Both of those things are at stake, and they can affect every Pennsylvanian.
There's a lot of big cases before the Supreme Court. That's just one. We're going to talk about another one in just a few minutes. But Jason, first of all, let's go back to this divide New York State up. First, I thought it was two. Now I guess there's an effort to divide it into three separate states. There's some movement there on that front. Read an article, an interesting article last week. Anything to this, or is this just kind of smoke and mirrors at this point?
Well, I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And, you know, we take no official organizational position on legislation such as that. On a personal front, you know, I'll just say that I'm not really supportive of it. I know I've got some good friends that are looking to advance this legislation, but I think it often distracts us from the real fights that are going on. And people end up putting a lot of time and energy into, you know, splitting the state, when the reality is we just got to get to work and be working on the values we care about and essentially taking back some of these seats so we don't have to worry about how small we can split these regions into, but actually the whole state can one day be a pro-life New York again.
Yeah. There is a movement in Pennsylvania, Tom. I know you're excited about this, this offshoot of the Family Institute called the Church Ambassador Network. Explain what that is and what you hope to accomplish through that.
Sure. We've recently made a big announcement about it, but in reality, we've been doing this for a couple of months now, and essentially it's to connect pastors who we consider the shepherds of God's people and connect them with the shepherds, if you will, that are entrusted with public service and involved in government. We arrange meetings between local pastors and their local legislators, praying for them, not necessarily about issues or trying to persuade them about issues, but caring for them as people and as leaders, as we're called to in the scriptures.
Yeah, and Jason, you talk about all the time, not just influencing legislation, but influencing legislators. A lot of folks may not know this. You're not just a Christian watchdog fighting for families in Albany. You're also an ordained minister, and October is Clergy Appreciation Month. Talk about how vital that partnership is for you with pastors and the overall success of your ministry.
Yeah, Bob, I served as a pastor of a local country church for 11 years. And, you know, as I reflect on that, I think about how much things have changed since I left that church to lead this ministry. Mm. Pastors are asked to do more and more today with, honestly, fewer and fewer resources. Not only are many of the pastors across the state and across the country vastly underpaid, but they're facing so many challenges in areas of counseling today in particular. The issues are just getting more and more difficult. And folks have no idea how much a word of encouragement, a tangible act, and honestly, even a love gift can be to encourage that pastor and help them stay in the fight. Mm. They are at the tip of the spear. We've got to do everything we can to lift up those warriors in the front lines.
It's sad we only set aside 1 month a year for clergy appreciation. But you go, pastors. We love you all out there doing a great job. Tom, we mentioned the one Supreme Court case on gay and lesbian transgender workers. The other big one is on abortion and this Louisiana law that makes abortion doctors get admitting privileges like they would at an ordinary hospital. Planned Parenthood doesn't like that. But this is another case that could really set a precedent as far as the pro-life culture in this country goes. How could this impact this whole work that you guys do to expand the culture of life in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Louisiana law, as you said, has some requirements for abortionists. That seems to make common sense for health and safety reasons that we would have such a thing. But the fact that it's being challenged by Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion business, means that they are scared. And what they're scared of is that a new precedent could come down that would allow even more protections for unborn children. It could open the door beyond the Roe versus Wade decision.
Yeah, and I hear the court will take that case just a few weeks. And again, we'll expect a ruling next June on that. So once in a while, we get questions from our audience. Jason and my assistant baseball coach, who's a cop, came up to me the other day after a game and said, hey, I got a question for Jason McGuire. And so I write it down. He wants to know why it seems the governor, Democrats who control the legislature, seem more concerned with protecting criminals than victims of crimes, whether it's raise the age or bail reform. A lot of people, especially people in law enforcement, feel like their arms are tied behind their backs in New York State. They see this as a gross injustice. Does New York need victims' rights legislation, Jason McGuire?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, you know, come January, a lot of things are going to change in our legal world, and you'll see more and more classifications of criminals, at least accused criminals, that will be handed appearance tickets rather than bail, and they're going to see less and less jail time and other issues. So we are concerned about that. But, you know, if I can just step back and speak broader for a minute here, there are Republicans who like to be portrayed for ideological purposes as tough on crime. Democrats like to be portrayed for ideological purposes as soft on crime. The reality is the biblical Christian is going to have a difficult time totally in one party or the other. There's a tension where justice and mercy runs through the cross.
Mm.
And I think that our criminal justice reform needs to happen in the case that there are some abuses of our legal system. But at the same time, victims are getting left behind under the current system here in New York. And so we've got a lot of work to do. That's why Christians have to enter the fray, because they're the only ones that will see that justice and mercy ultimately run through the cross.
And every once in a while you get a big victory, Tom, and you guys scored that. And at the appeals court level just a little while ago when prayer was ruled constitutional at the state house. So now that prayer is back, what can we be praying for, Tom, as in the final days of the fall term there in Harrisburg?
Sure, good question. I'd say foremost, there's a lot of division, a lot of backbiting, really a lot of nastiness and spiritual darkness here at the Capitol. And when they return in a couple of weeks here in session, I think we'll see more of that. So we want to get public policy issues done. We want to get protection for the unborn and other things done. But we also want to see the darkness lifted and folks who respect each other, even if they disagree on policies, also to uphold these legislators and their families, their marriages, because when those fall apart, we tend to lose good people.
Well said. And that will have to be the last word this week, but there's so many issues affecting you where you are right now. in New York and Pennsylvania. Jason, you have a wonderful website where folks can go check you out. What is that, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Stay informed in Pennsylvania as well. Tom, what's your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.
All right, guys, great show today. Lots to consider on Capital Connection. Comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report or online anytime. Download a free podcast at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we still see high pressure ruling the roost here, keeping our weather serene and generally sun-filled. Our next weather maker will be a weakening front coming in from the west. It'll bring a shower or two tomorrow, but really, not much. Don't let it change a lot of plans. Most of the day looks dry. And then behind the front, it's a pleasant, dry, partly sunny day for Sunday. The call for this afternoon, sunny skies for most. A few intervals of cloud cover entering eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures, 60s to near 70. Then tonight, partly cloudy skies. A shower late near Lake Erie. Low temperatures, 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny in eastern Pennsylvania. Elsewhere, becoming mostly cloudy with a shower. High temps, low 60s. Sunday, more sun than clouds and a high temperature in the low 60s.
All right, Kevin, at the Weather Center, have yourself a great weekend. Thank you very much. And finally, at noon, an ex-con in Arkansas finding out for himself what the gospel of grace looks like. Here's Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
23-year-old Brenton Wynn was recently baptized in the same church he vandalized earlier this year. Wynn was arrested back in February for destroying $100,000 worth of property at Central Baptist Church in Arkansas. The young man, homeless and high on drugs at the time of the incident, was extended grace by his prosecutor, who allowed him to go through a Christian 12-month recovery program rather than spending 20 years in jail. The young man has since accepted Christ as his Savior and says, "I'm starting to understand how God works. I've realized I didn't pick the church that night. God picked me." Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
What an awesome story. Thank you, Tracy, and that's the world we live in. Friday, October 11th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.